But before we get started, is everything turned down?
Yes, on losers. I hate all of you.
Imagine how much we hate you.
You people are terrible. You guys act like I'm some magician over here on this board.
Playoffs?
I know just enough to get by.
You want
to
talk about playoffs?
Because they're so scared to give me any power around here.
Do you guys want
to
talk about the wild card weekend?
Yes. Introduce the show.
Here we go.
Good God Almighty.
The regular season is kaput. Welcome to the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast, live from Lexington, Kentucky, where we're expecting a little bit of snow on Friday.
What?
Exciting stuff. 55 degrees as the sun goes down and we get the news of Jeff Beck's demise. Sad.
Best Jeff Beck moment from you two rock legend kind of followers.
It's tough because he remained under the radar for 50 plus years. I'll tell you, one of the coolest moments really just is their re-recording, and he got Rod Stewart to do the
yes!
vocal. Rod Stewart, people get ready.
Yes, I mean, that's exactly
it's just
what
a,
I was gonna say.
Just a beautiful song. I mean, a beautiful rendition of Curtis Mayfield's song, and a song that I think Martin Luther King called the unofficial song of the Civil Rights Movement that Curtis Mayfield wrote. And then Jeff Beck and Rod Stewart come out and put it out, you know, and it's just a beautiful
and that
version.
Was a great video too. Mid 80s.
Yeah,
it was a great video.
I don't remember the video. I remember it very well. Yeah, huh? What was in the video? Just them?
They're far away from each other, and they're spending the whole video kind of riding trains to gather together. And then when they finally get together, they're so happy. And then Rod Stewart sees some girl and starts dancing with her. They're
of course
all so
he
happy.
Does.
And Jeff Beck's still playing the guitar in the background.
Of course he was.
As Jeff Beck does. So, yeah, that's a great video, and that's exactly what I think of Jeff Beck. What do you think, Beerman?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Oh. I thought you were
not a Jeff Beck fan.
Classic rock connoisseur.
You know.
What guitar?
He was behind the scenes.
What guitar god did he replace in the Yardbirds in 1965? Let's check Beer Man's classic rock acumen.
I'm going to go with Clapton.
Did he replace? What was my question? I forgot which.
Who did he replace? What guitar god did he replace?
It was
in
Clapton.
Yardbirds?
Yes, you're right. You were guessing.
I wasn't guessing.
Okay, what guitar god recommended that he replace Clapton?
Jimi Hendrix.
Jimmy Page.
Damn it.
Casey Kasem.
You got half a point on that one.
I'm completely clueless.
Let's get to the
game. Why do you have to talk about stuff over my head? Anyway.
Wow. Well.
Okay, we have been doing some number crunching here. Beer Man, would you like to...
All right, so we are on the season, wrapping up the regular season. We wrapped up week 18. Dennis, you went 8-8. I went 6-10. Brad went 9-7.
Oh, good for you.
Year to date. Dead Air Dennis, 135, 129, and 7. Brad Taylor, 141, 123, and 7.
That makes me the wiener, right?
In this one, yes.
In that one.
Okay, in this one.
You can have that one.
Oh, this one's more prestigious. How dare you? This one is much more prestigious, the podcast.
I'm on record as saying I hate doing these podcasts on a Tuesday. I know we have to because of, you know, scheduling constraints and all that, but I don't like doing it on a Tuesday because I don't know how I'm going to feel about these games on come Sunday or Saturday.
Next season, if somebody wants to pay us, that would mean we can open our schedules up a little bit.
If you could pay us.
Who can we go to? What scam artist? I mean, what
today's podcast
business?
Brought to you by Red State Barbecue.
Ooh, I want some Red State.
By the way, let's go over the ESPN picks now that I've done a little math on here. One of us was 52.4% on the season. Barely. A profit if you put money on every game, 52.4%. So I would take that.
Congratulations, Brad.
Well, there you go. One of us hit a very impressive 60.9%.
Wow, did I really?
Yes, 60.9. Almost nice.
Let's go ahead and round it up to 61%.
What number in the country did you finish?
26th.
26th in the country against the spread. That's insane.
And one of us finished 43.9%.
Who was that? Rabbit?
Rabbit. No. But I will say this. All of us combined hit 52.4%. So that's the break. That's the Vegas number you got to break even at, 52.38. So we would have made, what was it, a 40 cents profit if we had put $100 on every game.
That's a lot of
including
work.
Including the juice, yes. So, yes, we have a lot to improve on for next year. But at least combined, we're carrying you with us, Beer Man.
Don't cut
combined, me. We did not lose you any money on the ESPN. Or, well, maybe not with the podcast picks. But that's neither here nor there. But in a very impressive season. And I kind of looked at this, since I was kind of right at the Mendoza of 52.4%, you have to figure, about 5% of the people made a profit in this, and the other 95% lost their tail.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, you know, an indication of how hard this is to hit that 52.38%. This is a hard gig. People say, oh, you're going to roll out, circle them in the newspaper. Well, yeah, do that every week and every game for 18 weeks and 272 games or whatever, 271 this year. So it's tough, and you should be congratulated for that, Beer Man, or Dennis.
Yes, I should definitely be.
You should
I
be,
should
too.
Definitely be congratulated.
I don't know how hard you tried, but that's neither here nor there. So,
it's a good time for me to mention that I won the Herald Leader contest as well some 15 years ago.
Oh, I was like, wait, are they
still
doing that?
Weekly contest?
Remember they had a weekly contest?
Yes, I won it three times in my teens.
Did you really?
Yes.
Wow.
My mom still has the newspapers. She won't get rid of them.
Yeah, but did you pick your games against John Clay and some of those
No, it was just you mail it in. It was the newspaper. You cut it out.
Yeah.
There was a little box. You cut it out, and you had 15 games, and you just marked whoever you thought would win.
Yeah.
And then you put total points in the last game. This was in the 80s.
Oh,
and wow. I was like obsessed. My whole life was about brackets in March and that little stealing as many Herald Leaders as I could so I could fill these out.
Sure.
Yeah. And it was,
what did
was,
you win? What was the grand prize?
$100.
Oh, that's
$100. And they sent me an underage kid in Madison County. They sent me a $100 check.
Nice.
Three different times. So yeah, it was sweet. It was
while we're talking about year to date stuff, our over unders.
Oh God.
Your champion. Wait, we have a tie at the top.
Yes, I'm glad you said that.
Did we pick over-unders?
We did pick over-unders. I finished 17 and 14. Brad finished 17 and 14. Dennis finished 14 and 17. Again, had you taken every one, you would have shown a profit.
Look at that. See, grinding out a profit. It's, Brad, I'm not going to listen to you because you can't hit 75%. Well, nobody can hit 75%. Mm. You got to have realistic expectations about this.
Nobody in the world hits 75%.
Billy
nobody.
Walters, who's coming out with a book this coming August, and I'll be the first in line to get it signed. He's actually from Kentucky. Considered the best sports gambler ever. Phil Mickelson got him thrown in prison for 5 years. There's a whole story behind that. That's part of the reason he's doing this book. He has stories about how you gamble. He can't even hit 60%. And he's the best that ever lived. He is considered the best ever at sports gambling.
So you're trying to tell us that Phil Mickelson is a jerk?
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Is he really?
Oh, my God. Wait till this book's... There's a reason why Mickelson hasn't been around for a year now since this guy got out of prison. There's a reason why. Because this guy could have put him away for years, and he turned his back on this guy. Uh-huh. If I was Mickelson, I wouldn't go out in public either. Now
he's Brad Taylor's fired up right now.
Oh, I hate Mickelson. That's a great book, man. I do. Billy, he's from Kentucky, too.
Tune in after the book comes out for the scoop.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we interview him?
You know what? I don't do a lot of interviews on my show. That's one man I would interview, totally.
Let's get to the game.
To the game.
You interviewed me last week, and you know what I did? I went 5-0.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you really?
Yeah.
5-0.
Had a good weekend.
Oh, very good. How did you do?
I went 12-4.
You told me to pick five games. I picked five games.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
How come you don't play the MyBookie contest where you pick five games every week?
I'm scared.
So only $10.
No, I did.
Scared, buddy.
I did last
money.
Year. I did last year.
$10, man.
Yeah, I know. I did last year.
I made $200 this year.
I didn't fare as well. I had a rough year. I'll readily admit.
We need to enter that $1,000 out in Vegas Survivor contest.
You want to do that? We all pitch in?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
I'm in.
What if we have a disagreement 1 week?
Oh, I guarantee you we're going to have a disagreement.
One week? You mean every
you
week?
You guys are morons.
We're going to have a disagreement week one.
If it wasn't for Beer Man. No, if it wasn't for Dylan, we'd be rich.
Let's get to the game.
Get to the games. It is now playoffs. We have 6 games this week. 2 on Saturday, in which the Beer Man will be joining me at about 9:45 to talk about Saturday's football games. if he will look at me and confirm.
Yeah. Sorry.
You're our Saturday correspondent.
I'm good to go.
4:30 start. Seattle Seahawks, Geno Smith. San Francisco 49ers and Brock Purdy. 9.5 points. The favorite is the Niners. 42.5 total. Any volunteers to go first here? Dennis.
Yeah, I guess I'll take it. I just keep waffling back and forth on this game. I think that Brock Purdy is going to stumble somewhere along the line. I don't know if it's this week, though. I think San Francisco's ready for this week. I think I'm going to take the 49ers in this game. I just feel like that defensive front is, well, both sides of the ball. San Francisco is just tough to beat right now. Brock Purdy is he is more than managing the game. He's proving an outstanding player, performer, decision maker, all of it. He's doing great, but he's going to hit a snag when he plays one of these really great teams. And maybe when he plays a couple back-to-back. I'm going to take the 49ers. I'm going to relinquish the points this week. But I'm not a fan of it.
Two things working against San Francisco. It's always tough to play that team for the third time. Beat that team for the third time. This will be their third matchup. San Francisco won the previous two. The one in week two was kind of a blowout. The one in, I think, week 11. I don't remember exactly, but later in the year, it was a close game. 9.5, in my opinion, way too many. I like San Francisco to win the game and move on, but I think this is going to be a pretty tight little contest, even if it's a backdoor cover. I think Seattle does cover this game. It's a whole new season. There's a lot of people kind of rejuvenating a little bit and getting up for it. So I'm going to take the Seahawks.
My favorite bet in this game is the under. We might be seeing some weather issues.
I was going to ask you about that. I didn't know if you'd have that information. I've heard the same thing.
Yeah, we're looking at some weather issues in this game. More than a 10-mile-an-hour wind, as we kind of set a Mendoza line for us. The side in this game, I agree with everything Dennis said on this one. And as far as the Niners go, it's hard to believe they're on a 10-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
And they were 8-2 against the spread in those games, whereas the Niners are. So it's hard to kind of, A, go against them, and B, kind of put your arms around the fact that Brock Purdy is so darn good against the spread so far and straight up. But, yeah, there is – we talk about the rematch after losing twice. You talked about in the division games. In college basketball, it's always a good thing to go with the team that lost. In the NFL, it's not so much. The team that won usually more than 55% of the time wins that third one and covers the spread. I'll take Seattle here only because I'm getting 9.5, but I do not like this one. I do like the under here, though.
Yeah, I like the under as well, and I meant to bring that up along with the weather. You know, this is one of those that you just, if you're going to place a bet early in the week, good luck. You know, fingers crossed, maybe take a stab at it. Maybe you get lucky and you predict the outcome of the weather or how that's, or the point spread and how that's going to be altered. But this is a tough one, and I would hold off. I'm certain that I will be holding off. One other thing, too. They've won 10 straight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to win the Super Bowl, they're going to have to win 14 straight games. So just think about the impossibility, the odds against that
with
happening. With a rookie quarterback. But this team has, you know, Shanahan's done such a great job behind the scenes of getting this team motivated for the youngster. It'd be fun to see him in the Super Bowl, I'm not going to lie.
There was talk back when they drafted Trey Lance that Shanahan wanted Mac Jones because he was the more accurate, typical, prototypical pocket passer. That's the whole reason they drafted Brock Purdy, because Shanahan was like, at least get me one on my roster. Of course, Garoppolo goes down, Lance goes down, Shanahan gets the quarterback that he wants. And they've kind of blossomed since then. I mean, the kid's undefeated. That being said, I think the NFC is garbage in the playoffs this year. I don't think anybody's coming in hot. The teams that are coming in hot, there's so many question marks.
Great prop bet. Who starts the first game for the Niners as a quarterback next year?
Brock Purdy.
You think so?
I will put money on it.
You think he passes Trey Lance?
I will put money on it.
You don't think they bring in Tom Brady? Don't think Garoppolo's back?
Nope.
Think it's Brock Purdy?
Brock Purdy.
Okay. By the way, Seattle 1-7 against the spread their last 8. That might be a good time. Maybe they'll cover this number. in terms of us. Let's go to Saturday night. Jacksonville Jaguars back in the playoffs at home against the Chargers. Chargers 2-point favorite, and the total 47.5. Seems a little high, Beer Man.
Honestly, I go back and forth on this one more than any other one. It's, you know, Jacksonville at home is not a huge home field advantage. They don't have the rabid kind of fan or anything like that. I think Jacksonville kind of whooped up on the Chargers earlier in the year, but big Mike Williams was out. Keenan Allen, I think, was out. And, so it's one of those, neither team has experience in the playoffs, so you got to kind of go with what you feel like. I like Peterson as a coach better. I like Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback slightly better, but I like the rest of the Chargers team better. I'm going to take the Chargers in this one. I don't feel great about it because I may change my mind by Saturday.
Yeah, you don't feel great about it because you're wrong.
Service return.
Okay.
Well, no, I don't. This is a tough one for me as well. The Jags scored 20 points last week. What did the Chargers do?
They lost 32-29 to Denver, yeah.
Yeah, and they left the starters in, and Mike Williams
got hurt. A couple guys got hurt. Yeah.
Joey Bosa got hurt.
Joey Bosa has not been really very healthy all year long. The defense has improved. The offense has improved, but, not dramatically. I mean, the Chargers aren't very far removed from the team they were at the beginning of the season. On the other side of the coin, the Jaguars have improved dramatically. Week to week, they've got the better coach. I normally, in this situation, would take a little more seasoned quarterback like Herbert, and I think he is, at this stage, a better quarterback, but I don't think it's by much. And I think this game is closer to a pick 'em now. You might want to refresh that. But
consensus is 2 as of this moment.
I'm taking the home dog, Jacksonville. Let's go.
I am with you on this one. I will take the Jaguars as well. They had to win all these games at the end to get in the playoff 5-game winning streak. Fifth team ever to go from worst record in the NFL to a division title. Mm. Not just worst in the division, worst in the NFL. And, they're ninth in offensive yards per play right now, 8th in yards per play margin. This is a decent team with a Super Bowl pedigree coach, too. Yeah, I like them against the Chargers. I like the coaching matchup especially. And, like Dennis said, quarterbacks, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between the two. I will take the home dog here.
To me, this is one of those that if the Chargers lose, I'd be curious if they would fire the coach and bring in
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton, thank you very much.
Yeah, they could do a lot of guys.
Harbaugh, probably not. I think Sean Payton would do incredibly well here. And I would think if they get fired when the odds come out, even if the coach hadn't been named yet, I'd put money on the Chargers for next year's Super Bowl just to get the good number, thinking that it's going to be Payton.
Let's not forget the defense, too. The Jags' defense has improved. And I don't know that it's improved. I just think that they've figured it out as a unit. Because last year they were, they've been a pretty supreme defense. Not the league's best, but, maybe top 10, close to top 10 defense. And Josh Allen's scoop and score last week was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Former Wildcat. So, Jags defense gave up how many points last week? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
16.
Flipping around. Yeah, 16 last week. 3 the week before to the Texans. Granted, yeah, I know, Texans. But the Chargers' schedule has been pretty weak, too. I just like their defense. I like their offense. I like the direction. I like the coach. I like the quarterback. I like the running back. Let's go, Jags.
Speaking of schedule, these two teams played in September. Jacksonville won 38-10.
Yeah.
So they have, they've proven they could take this team down. I'll take the Jaguars here. Let's go to Sunday. First game. Announced, Skylar Thompson will be your quarterback for Miami against Josh Allen of Buffalo. Buffalo now a 13-point favorite, total 43.5 in Buffalo, Dennis.
For some reason, I think I'm going to take the Dolphins. I may only take the Dolphins in the first half, though, because if there's one trend that I've noticed lately, and that is Buffalo doesn't really accelerate. They don't really get that team going until the second half of the game. And, it'll be a 13-16 game at halftime. And then they'll, you know, then all of a sudden, next thing you know, 5 minutes into the third quarter, it's, you know, it's 32-13. And, you know, I know there's a lot of emotion still churning and burning in that clubhouse. There's a lot of positive. There's a lot of good vibes. But Miami's defense has played really well the last couple of weeks. I say they keep them in it for the first half, if nothing else. I'm likely to take Miami and the points in the full game.
I'm sort of kind of with you on that one. Miami's played Buffalo twice this year. They won one. The other one, I feel like they were a double-digit dog. And that game kind of came down to the end of it. These guys know each other incredibly well. I don't think who the quarterback is going to make that big of a difference. It may be a blowout, but by blowout, I mean 10 to 12 points. I don't think it passes 13. So I'll take Miami and the points in this one. Still expect Buffalo to win.
They split on the year. Dolphins won as a four-point dog. They were only a seven-point dog when they went back to Buffalo in December. Okay. So, yeah.
Still covered.
Still covered. They covered both times. But, yeah, I'm taking Miami here. I want to take those 13. Of course, I'm not going to go against a double-digit dog. But, yeah, I think Miami, the public is all over Buffalo here. It's not, nobody's running to the window with double-fisted with hundreds saying, give me Skylar Thompson. And I'm going to fade the public here. This is the most heavily bet game for one side now as of today.
With that many points, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, I'm going to take Miami simply because I'm getting double digits in a playoff game with a divisional game on the road.
And their defense. Buffalo's defense has not been the defense that works, well, really all season, but even these last few weeks. I mean, they've suffered some there was a setback in the safety with DeMar Hamlin, you know, and he's a – you know, he was filling in for, I forget the player's name, who was injured and out in like week three or week four. The defense has been suspect all season. Josh Allen has had to make some risky throws. He's made some mistakes. I just think Miami finds a way to stay close.
And this was the time of the year that they brought Von Miller in for. And then, of course, he gets injured and is out for the year too.
And how much does the fact that the player that had the heart attack, Hamlin, now is back home in Buffalo? He got released from the hospital today.
Today, yeah.
So, yeah. How much does that have an effect on this team? We shall see in this playoff run. Let's go to the next game. Fraud Bowl. Giants. Three-point dogs on the road at Minnesota. Daniel Jones, Kirk Cousins. Total, 48.5, the highest total on the board. Beerman.
This is probably the game that I feel the best about. These guys played just a few weeks back.
Christmas Eve.
And it was a fantastic game. Justin Jefferson, I think, went off on that game. But I love the Giants right here. Not just to cover, but to win outright. I think they have, as of right now, I think they have the better coach. I think the quarterbacks are pretty equal. I like the running game in the Giants a little bit more. I do like the receivers a little bit more on Minnesota. But I like the Giants to win this game outright.
I think the Vikings are going to swell up for this one. I think they're tired of all the talk. That's a very subjective thing to say, but obviously they're tired of all the talk about how they're frauds and, you know, one-point score victories. It's hard to argue against that, but I just don't know that New York's going to get up for this game. Give me the Vikings in a very suspect game.
I'm with you, Beerman. Last time these two teams played, Giants are missing both their corners. They will both play in this one. Minnesota, one possession games, one score games, 11-0. Best record in the history of the league. That's how you, kind of like in baseball, one run victories. The next year you want to fade that team because they were a little bit fraudulent the year before. Yeah. Negative point differential for the Vikings this year. Are they really that good? You're going to give me three and a team that basically played them man up on Christmas Eve? Give me the Giants plus the three in this one.
What's the point differential for the Giants this year?
I don't have that handy. I do know Minnesota's was negative. That's all I have with me.
So. Yeah. Well, no, that's a good point. And there will be a – and what time is this game?
This is the Sunday 4:15 game.
Yes. 4 o'clock, yeah.
4:30 game.
Right in the middle of the day there. That's a good time for an upset. That's a good time for an upset. I like the scheduling of that.
Looking at the numbers, the Giants
– oh. Negative
had,
six.
Had a negative six, while the Vikings were negative three.
Negative three.
So, the Fraud Bowl. perfectly. Give me the dog in a fraud bowl like this one. Giants 9-7, 9-7-1. That tie basically got them in the playoffs, I guess. But oh well. Anyway, next game. Sunday Night Football.
Ooh.
From Riverfront Stadium. Yeah. Baltimore Ravens. We don't know who the quarterback is. We think it will be Tyler Huntley.
He's not throwing this week.
It's not him. It ain't going to be Lamar Jackson. But the line now reflects this. Bengals now up to an 8.5-point favorite. Total has dropped to 40.5. Your thoughts on this game, Dennis?
My thoughts, it'll be aired live Sunday night on Classic Rock 92.1, where we proudly are the home of Who Day. If you're going to bet on the Bengals, do it now. That would be my
agreed.
Be my first thought. Game went over last week, and I can't even think of the name of the quarterback for the Ravens last week.
Anthony Brown.
He looked a little better than I suspected. And I know Joe Burrow took all the blame for some of the Bengal issues last week. He said he missed some plays. He made some bad decisions. He was taking a lot of heat, put a lot of heat on himself for his poor performance, which it wasn't that bad of a performance. They won by 11 points. I'd take the over in this game again, even though I know that's not a very popular move in AFC North football games. And I'm going to take the Bengals. Not proud of it because I think I'd have a little bit more pride taking the Ravens, being the dogs, but I just think the Bengals are going to win again handily.
I think the Bengals were beating up on the Ravens pretty good last week.
Felt like they let off a little bit.
And I think they kind of let off the gas.
And that game lasted forever.
You know, it's one of those where you already kind of knew at that stage that that's who they were going to have to face the following weekend. So what do you start to show at that stage? I think you kind of scale back a little bit. I think you start to get generic. And that sort of kind of allowed Baltimore back into it. I know we were talking. I did some live betting on that game. At one time during the game, I got the Ravens at plus 24 and a half. The Bengals were whipping up on them. I think they turn around and do the exact same thing this year. Unlike the 49ers in Seattle, I think Baltimore won the earlier matchup, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
So this will be their third matchup, but they've split so far. I'm going to take Cincinnati, and I don't think they let off the gas too much in this one.
You are looking at someone who went on the radio Tuesday afternoon and said, you got to be crazy if you bet against Kentucky. Or excuse me, bet against South Carolina getting 20 points in this game against Kentucky. It's you're betting numbers. You're not betting teams. You're not betting your favorite teams. Mm-hmm. We're all Bengals fans when they're on Classic Rock, our sister station over there for ESPN. I got to take the Ravens here. You're going to give me more than a touchdown. Even if it is Anthony Brown, I made the mistake on the radio and say, even if that Brown guy starts at quarterback this week, and then I'm like, that didn't sound right. How about that Lamar Jackson guy? How about that Tyler Huntley guy? Yeah, kind of sweeping that under the rug a little bit. I didn't mean that Brown guy. His last name was Brown. I'm just saying.
We know what you mean.
I know, but I thought it was rather amusing. But anyway, yeah, I'm taking the Ravens at the points, but like you, I don't think this is not the college fund game of the week, so to speak. Yeah.
No, and what's the line again?
8.5 right now. Earlier, yesterday at this time, it was 6.5. So no. We're kind of reading the tea leaves that Lamar's not playing, and we don't know what to expect out of Huntley.
They say Lamar hasn't even practiced, hasn't thrown, hasn't done anything.
No, he hasn't felt right since week one, he said. Week one, he said.
And he's going for a fully guaranteed contract. I mean, that just
– yeah.
I don't know who this – I don't want to get into contract discussions.
Change my bet to the Ravens.
All right, he's taking the Ravens. I'm
going to play against my heart.
Card laid is a card played. Sorry, you can't change. Monday Night Football. I like Monday Night Football in the playoffs. I don't think the players do, but Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, Tom Brady and the Bucks. Last hurrah for them. Dallas now consensus 2.5-point favorites. You can find some threes out there. There's a lot of juice on the 2.5. Your thoughts on this? A total 45.5 seems like a little bit high, Beerman.
I don't think it seems high. I think Tampa Bay's defense is banged up pretty good. Dallas had an atrocious game last week. Tampa Bay's kind of had an atrocious season. But I think that it's one of those that I'll jump on a little bit early. Tom Brady's never lost to the Cowboys, but I think this will be his loss to the Cowboys and his way out of the playoffs. So I'm going to take Dallas at Tampa Bay and lay the points there. I think people just remember last week. They don't remember this week.
I hate going against all the people that I kind of follow and agreeing with you, Beer Man.
Nice.
God. Are you trying to lose?
What's the line here?
Two and a half.
2.5 now. Wow. Yeah, something just tells me that Dallas looks at the game film from last week and just says, all right, we're going to play one good game in the postseason, so Jerry at least signs a contract on our paychecks this week. That's my only thought regarding this game. The fact also that they've struggled against Tampa Bay. I know that what's the center's name for Tampa Bay that's been out all season? Is it Jenkins?
I think so, yes.
I think he's back this week.
What a weird week to come back.
Well, no, it's a great week to come back. He's one of the top three or four, centers in the league easily. That scares me a lot, but it also makes me think that maybe he won't quite be in perfect form and ready to play in the middle of that line. It's just a vibe. It's just a beat that I'm on. I'm taking Dallas for some reason.
Off the top of your heads, can you guys remember the last road game the Dallas Cowboys won in the playoffs?
In the playoffs.
Nope, I can't.
Let's go back to the 1992 NFC Championship.
Troy Aikman. Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin.
Yes, and they go to San Francisco and take down Steve Young in the mud right before Dallas's first of three Super Bowls in 4 years.
Tell me more.
30 years since it's happened. They're 0-7 since then. Tom Brady set a record this year. Most completions in a season. Now, granted, they played 17 games instead of the usual 16. But this is a tough spot for Tampa. This is a spot I don't believe in Dallas at all. And teams with a 500 or worse record in the first round of these playoffs, it's happened 11 times, those teams, 9-2 against the spread. Wow. Because everybody's telling them, you don't deserve it. You're a losing team. Well, how do you get a home game? Give me Tampa, those 2.5 here. As Tom Brady does not go down without a fight.
Yeah, but also, I think the public has seen Dallas look really bad this year.
Yeah.
I mean, that game last week against Washington, was it Washington? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God, that was just...
That was pitiful.
How do you get any worse than that?
That was a pitiful game.
It was just ugly. I mean, Cooper Rush is playing quarterback in the fourth quarter. That's how bad Dak Prescott was.
These two teams played week one, 19-3. Tampa won that game. Mm-hmm. Dallas only got 3 points in that game. And they had Dak was healthy. Everybody was healthy for Dallas in that game, too.
When did Dak go out in that game, though?
It was second half, from what I remember, right?
Did he go out in that game, or was it week two?
No, it was that game.
Was it?
Because they played the Bengals in week two and beat the Bengals. Something just tells me that Jerry gets a playoff win.
You think so?
I just feel it. I don't know why. I think both of these teams are miserable, though. I really do. It's very much, to me, it's like the Minnesota and Giants game. I mean, I don't remember a year when there were so many teams that I felt like didn't really deserve to be in the playoffs. It's just because there was nobody else better.
I remember on Christmas night watching that Arizona-Dallas game, or Arizona-Tampa game, excuse me, and just thinking, Tampa? I mean, they had so little, such a listless effort against a quarterback you've never heard of for Arizona, and they won the game in overtime somehow, some way. But, yeah, that's all six games. Do you have anything else to add? Dead Air Dennis, do you have a teaser or a parlay?
Not yet, no. I'll have one for you on Sunday.
I will tell you this right now. If you want to play a teaser, the Bengals sitting right now 8.5, that's a perfect one. Get that through the 7, through the 3, that's a perfect teaser right there. Bengals 8.5 down to 2.5 if you want the 6. I know you play the 17-point teasers, but whatever. I think at minus 550 or whatever.
I don't know, man. I think I'd take the Ravens if I was going to do a
14.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tampa getting the 2.5 going up through the 3 and the 7 would be pretty good too. Jacksonville getting the 2 or getting whatever they are, getting them through the 3 and the 7. That's a good three team teaser right there.
Yeah.
Tampa, Jacksonville, and Baltimore. That would be mine. But anyway, do you have a 40 to pour out as your best bet of the weekend, Beer Man?
You know what? I like the Giants quite a bit in that game to win outright. And then I think my second favorite right now is probably the Bengals. I think they're on a mission. Last year, of course, they got to the Super Bowl, and some of the stuff that Joe Burrow said, he's like, you know, we knew it wasn't finished. I like the mentality of that Cincinnati team, and you probably haven't seen that mentality in every bit of 30 years. But these young kids are ready to go.
Yeah, and you don't hear other teams tout, you know, toot their own horn as much as the Bengals do. You know, all those players wearing those T-shirts, you know, they got to play us. The thing that is really inspiring and impressive about the Cincinnati Bengals, that is a unit. You can see it on their faces. Those guys love to play football together.
That's Burrow. That's 100% Burrow.
The
Burrow effect.
Burrow brought the whole thing in. If he didn't come in and do all that, if they just had Andy Dalton or somebody still quarterbacking, you'd never see anything like this. Mm-hmm. Burrow changed the entire franchise by himself. Zach Taylor, if he didn't get Burrow, he'd be gone by now. But
I was going to say, don't de-emphasize the effect of Zach Taylor either, because I think that did he make a bad move under pressure in the Buffalo Bills game? I mean, that everything he did was perfect. Every move he made, talking to the players, walking over and talking to Sean McDermott and saying, "Hey, we're not going to play this game. My players don't want to play."
That goes in both locker rooms too.
Mm-hmm.
Those locker rooms will play for a guy who does something like that.
Yep.
Cliches there.
I don't think Kansas City is afraid of anybody. I don't think Cincinnati is afraid of anybody. I will not say the same about Buffalo. But the difference is Cincinnati has beat Kansas City twice.
Three times.
Is it three times? Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, I mean, I love the swagger that Cincinnati is going into in this playoffs. If I had to pick right now, I'd probably take Kansas City to win the Super Bowl, but I want to see Cincinnati give them everything they got if it gets to that.
I put $10 on Cincinnati to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and I put 10 on them. That was 8-1, and they're 4-1 to win the AFC championship.
Is that your best bet for a future? Going forward?
That's just me.
That's just you. Oh, so you're not on record.
It's not a bet.
That's just pizza money, as we like to say. Little pizza money.
A little bit of fun.
Little pizza money there.
My best future bet, the Bears trade the number one pick.
For what? Do you have your quarterback? Are you saying you have your quarterback?
I 100% think that we have our quarterback. I don't think there's a quarterback in this draft that is better or, even if they're equal, I'll take Justin Fields over C.J. Stroud or
Will Levis.
The Alabama kid, Will Levis. Get out of here.
Bryce Young. Pro Football Focus has him projected second to the Texans. Will Levis. That's the craziness.
I thought I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Insanity.
More power to him. Well, I wouldn't be surprised to see Indianapolis make a jump up.
Would you trade that number one? That's what you're saying.
Depending on what the haul was, I don't think I would drop any further than fourth. Alabama's got the linebacker, I think.
Will Anderson.
And Georgia's got the defensive end. I still want to get one of those two players because I think they're, 10-year guys. There's talk that Carolina may try to jump up into that spot. A couple players like that where you'd have to drop down to like 9 or 11, depending on what that haul is.
DraftKings, Bryce Young, -125, be the first number one overall pick. Yes or no?
Not to the Bears, but if Indianapolis. You know what? If I'm Indianapolis, though, I'm going after C.J. Stroud over Bryce Young.
He's +175.
I would take Stroud over Young.
Will Levis, 15-1 for you pizza money players out there. Anything else, boys? Do we have playoff fever yet?
Let's get to the game. Oh, we already did that.
First game, Seattle. And what?
Yeah, playoff fever. Yeah, I've got it. I'm excited. I'm excited about
forever.
This weekend. I'm not excited about the fact that there are 10 fewer games this week, but but I am excited for playoffs.
More for college basketball wagering. That's the way I look at it. So, yeah.
The Bengals, by the way, going into this playoff season, having won 7 straight? 6 straight?
They lost Halloween night to the Browns. I think that was their last loss.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They are 12-2 against the spread their last 14 games.
12-2 straight up in their last 14 games too,
and against the spread. So that tells you you're cashing a lot of tickets if you're with the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Are we done, boys?
Yeah, we're done.
We're done. Get us out.
This has been the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast.
People, get ready for the trains are coming.
Don't need no
Don't
baggage.
Don't need no baggage. You just get on board.
Faith is a key.
The last 5 minutes.
You hear them diesels humming?
Get us out of here, Dylan.
Hey, everybody.
Someone's got to watch Wheel of Fortune tonight.
On a Tuesday night in LEXKY. This is Dead Air Dennis Beerman and Brad Taylor for the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast. Let's get it.
It's Wednesday.
He said many times it's Tuesday. He said it half hour ago it was Tuesday. I love doing this podcast on Tuesday. We did it on Wednesday every week except 2 all year. But anyway, nobody cares. But yeah. And shout out to legislation people that are up in Frankfurt right now.
Yeah.
Passing bills, passing tax reforms, passing all kinds of laws. And we got a man making it rain here in the studio. Thanks for
passing bills too.
Yeah. Dropping get my
Well, what's your message to the senator?
My message to the senator is what we say at the end of every show. So as we say as always on this show,
Mr. Senator, will you please suck it?
Suck it, Stivers.
Suck it, Stivers. Double vision. Suck it.
How?
Ooh, my eyes. I got double vision.
No disguise for that double vision.
Thanks for joining us. And until the next time, may the winners be yours.